Sounds True presents Healing Yourself with Your Own Voice with Don Campbell. In this program, Don Campbell offers an introduction to using the voice as a powerful instrument for self-healing and alignment, followed by a series of exercises to help you discover directly the healing potential of your own voice. And now, Healing Yourself with Your Own Voice with Don Campbell.
In ancient Greece, it was the voice that was the transportation between the gods, the imagery of perfection, and the state of the dilemma in man. If you recall, in the Greek dramas, there was always the use of the mask and the chorus, the commentary of the inner psyche and the outer psyche. And in the use of this mask came about the different personalities through which the voice could move. Now, all of us know about our own personalities, whether we're vibrant or quiet, know what it's like when we're in an angry, depressed mood, or in an exuberant mood, or when we're shy, or when we're tired, or when we're being silly, or when we are in a foreign country trying to be heard. Different parts of our personality are expressed immediately through our voice and simple gestures of eyes and hands. In Greece, this mask was known as persona. The personality, as translated into English, means mask, and person means through sound. It is through sound that we are able to receive language, energy from the outer world. It is through our own sound that we are able to move out into the world and express what impresses us. Now, as we learn and as we discover how to heal ourselves with our own voice, we must be aware that the voice is a very, very vulnerable instrument. Somewhere along in all of our histories, I don't know when or where, but you may remember your father or your grandmother or one of your early teachers saying, "Speak up! Can't hear you." Or you may remember them asking you to shut up, be quiet. Aren't you ever going to settle down? These very early emotional responses from the outer world to the way that we speak and talk and play completely arranges us psychologically in the way that we hold and carry and use our own voice. You may remember in elementary school some singing teacher asking you to mouth the words, or some choral director, or some music activity where they let you sing the solo. At other times, you may remember having a lead in a dramatic play that gave you power of your voice. At other times, you may remember knowing a poem so well that you stood up in front of everyone and forgot it. Take a moment and just review, what are those moments that empowered your voice or disempowered your voice? So often, we think of the voice in relationship to music. Myself, being a musician, and thinking in vocal terms and choral terms and performance terms, soon realized that some of the most powerful voices, speaking voices, engaged voices, were totally inhibited when it came time to sing. And in an amazing way, I've known many opera singers and choral singers who sing brilliantly but speak in almost an apologetic manner. Singing teachers today and music teachers all have many different ideas of how to create the great voice. And whether you're studying pop music or choral music or great singing or just humming in your shower, think about what has inhibited your voice. Now, the singing voice and the speaking voice come from very different parts of your brain. There are many instances where handicapped people are not able to understand the spoken word, but can understand the rhythmic word, or the tonal word, or the singing word. You may not believe it, but it's really, really true. You can understand rap through and through. Why is it so popular today? There's something in the voice that makes your day. Yeah, there's a rhythm. There's a pulse. Something inside just makes it work. Tell me more. Tell me more. That each and every sentence we use is actually a rap. Don't be bemused. There is a rhythm. There is a tone. In every sentence you think or moan, everything is a rap. It may not be a good rap or a bad rap, but it is a rap because there is the rhythm and the tone within your voice. Now let me turn this over just a little bit because I think it's important to realize that within 30 seconds, with your own voice, with even a humming sound, with a vowel sound, you can completely change your brainwave sequences in your conscious mind. And by change, I don't mean go into some kind of a strange altered state of consciousness, but literally help synchronize and equalize what is happening in your consciousness, in your awakened consciousness. When we live in pattern, the tone is so predictable that we are not awake to what we've done. It's when we travel, we go abroad, or we go to a different city, or we meet completely new kinds of people, that our whole sounds change because we are seeing and feeling the rhythm and the tone of life in a different frequency. And when we are able to allow ourselves to charge our sound, Dr. Tomata spoke of this, the charged sound and the uncharged sound, to be able to move in your own voice through the vowel sounds, you can change and alter yourself physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually. Here's a quick exercise. Now, if you're driving your car, do not do this exercise. Stop your car first. But simply close your eyes and take a deep breath and go, oh, oh, oh. Now do that 10 times. Now, did you notice a difference? How much of a release that could be emitted? Was your sound, ah, or was there a real deep, vital, ah? Simply, the vowels themselves begin to release the voice and change the charging communication between the mind, the emotion, and the body. How do we know this? Nurses training sessions, realizing what we can do with patient-client in a hospital. Psychiatrist-psychologist allowing the first 3 minutes of a session to be done with sound. The ability for children in classrooms who are under high stress of learning, to be able to make sounds before they are engaged in learning materials, to be able, in a psychological way, to go outside and make sounds before certain kinds of confrontations with other people, realizing what the power of the voice is, how it can heal the self, means how can it balance ourselves immediately. Vibrate, massage, engage, and allow what is happening on the inner world and the outer world to come to empowerment. This is the ability of the voice, this is the ability of the breath, and this is the ability of the sound to communicate, harmonize, and heal outer world and inner world. This is a new field. And as we work together, psychologists, therapists, medical doctors, and educators will begin to see that the voice itself holds our own instrumental power much more than just playing music or attending to outer sounds, but learning to explore this wide spectrum of sound that is held within our own voice. For the past couple of years, we've been working in research at the Institute of Music, Health, and Education to really see how one empowers the voice and empowers these new emerging sonic arts so that we begin to develop tools that effectively work on our mind and body for greater communication and greater health and well-being. By looking at the effects of tone, looking at new research in music therapy, by studying what kind of compositions and musical sounds and vocal sounds affect other bodies most efficiently, and looking at imagery, we're able to see a bigger picture of this emerging field as making greater sense of how we speak, how we listen, and how we release from our own bodies sounds that will allow us to feel more efficient, more balanced, and more clear. Let's spend a few minutes and think about the brain as if it were a musical instrument or an orchestra. If we were to consider the brain as just being a musical instrument, you'd find in your hind brain, in your autonomic brain, in this part of the brain that is really old, known as a reptilian brain, there we would find the rhythms of the brain. This could be your heartbeat, your breath. It is the automatic things that are happening in your digestion, in the movement of your blood. It is just the most intelligent part of your brain. It may not be able to speak, but anything that supports a whole life form body system is fairly awesome. So if you can keep the clicking and the rhythm symbolically meaning just the part of the music that is alive, the beat. In our voice, it is the rhythmic patterning, beat. That's why rap feels so good. Something inside feels this is the way it should be. Even though it doesn't always make great sense, there's something inside that comes to a flow. You know, it feels fine. Above this reptilian brain and the midbrain, the limbic system, there's another part of the brain. Now, I'm just talking sonically. I'm not talking about the other brain functions. But it's a part of the brain that knows bonding. It's the part of the brain that knows feeling. And it is really the emotional seat of the brain. If we have a heart chakra, I think it's in the limbic system. And it knows, In other words, there's a tone, the tonal center of the brain. And this midbrain, where the hypothalamus is where really the T cells of the body, the immune system becomes affected. And if there's not a sense of safety, this tone in the midbrain is not there. Going up into the other parts of the brain, you get line, you get dimension, you get beauty in the right brain, the sense of pitch and balance. And in the left brain, you get the words. You get the cognition. And in the prefrontal lobes, it's like the conductor. You can sense all the patterns at once. It's like the corporate boss. It's the composer-conductor all together. And music and sound is so efficient. Your voice is so efficient because there is no other way that engages the linguistic, the dimensional, the feeling tone, the rhythm, and the fullness than sound. The skin, the bones, the ability by which the ear communicates vibrations into thought and language and logos as it is orchestrated, and the voice can hold it all. The voice has the rhythm, the voice has the tone, the voice has the words, the voice has the elegance, and whether it be beautiful music or just singing in the shower, singing through different emotions, different needs, the voice begins to heal the body. Through the brain. Through the voice, you can massage your body from the inside out. We can change the rhythm of the body very effectively by changing music or changing the pace of our voice. We know this in high-stress clinics. We know this with people who have high blood pressure. Slow down the beat. Play Baroque music that is about 60 pulses per minute. That would be largos, adagios. It changes the breathing within the body. This basic sense of rhythm and pulse is our ability to feel harmonious with the people around us or feel very distant. Now just think of your own voice. If it's very hyper and you come in, now I want everybody to get in their places, I've got so much to do today, you have to do it this way, and everyone in an office is saying, well, we've been waiting for something to do, or you always come in at the last minute with everything to do. There are two different rhythms. There are two different powers of voices there. It becomes very effective when there's an entrainment, where there is a harmonious sense of the breath, the heartbeat, and the emotional tone of voice becomes one. By taking a depressed state, by taking a sluggish state, and activating the body, we know how to do this very well in our culture. We've been doing it too much. But we get in there and we charge. We get in with the aerobic music. We get in with the disco music. We hype ourselves up. And we have not yet learned to hype ourselves down. These are outer sounds and outer music. What we can do inside of ourself is anything. Realizing we don't need all the outer sounds to regulate us. That we can charge our own voice and charge our own brain through making sounds. Take 2 minutes of that if you're in a sluggish state, and it will bring attention and clarity, blood flow to your brain, warmth to your hands, immediately. Sounds of that kind of release can bring down the blood pressure, can allow the mind to feel at ease. But it's necessary to stay with these rhythms, with these patterns, for 2 or 3 minutes, so there is a chance for the body to feel the tonality or the tuning of the sound in the body. But it is the voice, and it is the sound, and it is the entrainment of these rhythms that allow us to shift into a state of balance in the most efficient, non-invasive way. Michael was a boy in a classroom that I had in Japan who would never be quiet, who was shouting the majority of the time and inhibited all the other children around him by his loud, rambunctious voice. It was a strained voice. It was a voice that had tension in it. He was a highly tense child. In his muscles, in his actions, when you would read what he wrote on paper, it would be so impressed within the paper that there was just enormous tension, anger. After working with Michael for a few months, I was able to get him, through a music class, to close his eyes and begin to hum. Had to use the imagery of different kinds of food or different kinds of activities that he really engaged and loved doing. We noticed that after humming for 4 or 5 minutes, the tension was gone from his shoulders and his voice dropped. It was an amazing turnaround. The other teachers found that when he was humming or when he began his day with a few minutes of humming, that his nervous tension was much lighter. The whole atmosphere changed over the next year and a half when he began to sing and become musically involved in school activities. The second story is about a college student named Julia. She was one of the shyest students I'd ever known. She had a very whimsical voice, a very light voice, a very feathered voice. And her greatest fear was ever standing up in front of a classroom to speak. And simultaneously, it was very difficult for her to even speak to friends and her teachers. Somewhere in her life, I would not be surprised if she had been told to sit down and be quiet and be nice and listen. Julia was unable to reach out into the world with her brilliance, her genius, her intellect, or her emotion. And through a general music class, we were able to bring her voice into a different tonality. We did that by asking her to make vowel sounds out loud. Oh, ee-oh. And we began to explore sounds that did not have words. Within a few minutes of the first day, she began to explore her voice this way, and enormous power began to emerge. She found that there was an emotional release that was much stronger than she could carry within words. And we began to invent new languages and kind of speak in a secular glossolalia. Within 2 months, Julia was able to stand in front of the class, speak with friends, and her whole physiological presence was clear, concise, and those years of suffering, of not feeling strong enough to communicate with the outer world, was completely diminished. The third story is about an older man. I will call him Archie because he reminded me of Archie Bunker. We were working in a music therapy setting in a hospital in Texas. And Archie was so angry about being in that hospital, having to lie on the bed, being in a latrine green room, and eat poor kinds of food while he was suffering from a mild heart attack. And his blood pressure was always high. And he was literally inhibited emotionally, physically, and felt as if death were a better release for him than any kind of treatment. By seeing him for a few days, he finally came to a place in trusting me that he would say, "Look, I will try anything. I like the nice music you're playing in the background, but I really want out of here." And we began talking about issues of anger. And what developed into a very engaged conversation and trust between us was that Archie was soon able to express his frustration, his anger, his pain through his voice. Again, we did not use words. I would ask him how it felt to be in here. Was there a sound? And while I was afraid the nurse would come in and feel like I was raising his blood pressure, and no doubt I did for a few minutes, after 30 or 40 seconds of Archie releasing this anger through his voice, a kind of emotional and physical tension began to leave his body. I gave him a few of the exercises, and within a few days his blood pressure had gone down. Archie felt better, and in the funniest way, his sound and his voice had forgiven himself for a great deal of tension he'd carried with him. The sound of the voice and music is not a cure-all for all things, but it holds such an ecological, an economic key by which each and every one of us can go inside, release tension, release fear, express what has not been expressed, release the jaw, and open up the ability to hear the world in a more efficient way because of the tension that has been within us has been released. One of the most amazing cases of healing with sound comes from France. A medical doctor, Dr. Alfred Tomatis, was asked to go into a Benedictine monastery. in the southern part of France, because most of the monks were feeling very tired. There was little enthusiasm, and since Vatican II, their whole lives had changed. They were literally eating differently. They were having office hours in quite a different manner. They had changed their religious prayer times, and their whole lives had shifted within the first 10 years after Vatican II. Dr. Tomatis, who was an ear, nose, and throat specialist, had the most curious sense that what was wrong was not physiological, but audiological. And he very bravely told the abbot of this abbey that he would like to put them back on a full, clear, refined diet of Gregorian chant. These long phrases that the whole community would sit and chant together 8 or 9 times a day from 10 to 25 minutes would allow a resonant feel of release that would allow a physical, mental, and emotional focus that brought the monastery as a group field into harmony and resonance. Within 6 months of the use of this chant, the monastery was intact again. The monks needed much less sleep, they went back to their vegetarian diet, and a whole new world opened up for them. The new world was the old world. It is the old world of sound and voice that has been the healing agent of many societies throughout the earth. Whether it be the Guatemalan shaman who uses a rattle in his voice to invoke the spirits to pull forth from the body those tensions and imbalances, or whether it is the American Indian who brings down the sound of spirit and healing with his chants that move from the top of his voice down to the earth, or whether it be, very important, South Indian ragas that are sung, 1 of 4,000 just to give a perfect prescription for the body, mind to balance itself. However we look at the sound and the voice, it has been the power to communicate, the power to bring down the forces of gods to heal in the therapeutic sense of fullness through play, through drama, through opera, story, through shaman, through improvisation, and through the holy use of the voice in religious ceremony. It is our voice that holds us, that gives us the power of knowing who we are. In the Eastern traditions, there's a real sense of the holiness, the sacredness, the healingness of word. We have forgotten the real impact of word in our modern society. We use words almost like a computer at times, and we have lost some of the empowerment of word underneath the sound. In the real marriage of word and tone, as the poets have never forgotten, we find that there are formulas, so to speak, that bring the mind and body attention into alignment. And when we listen to Gregorian chant, we find this very, very long, elongated vowel sound that gives time for the body to really feel the impact of the word. Gloria. Which has a completely different impact than I feel fine today, or thanks, as we might say it in our normal context, or even sing it in a more sacred setting of Gloria in Excelsis Deo. There's something about that long O sound. And when a group of people came together 6 or 8 times a day and toned together, there was an alignment not only of their own bodies, and they were breathing together, they were sounding together, I do not believe ever it was performing together. It was not for just the beauty for people listening to the sound. I think in the ancient context it was, this is correct because I feel it in my body, I am engaged, and this tone of voice, not the singing voice, but the tonal voice, really does allow me to align in a contemplative way what is happening with the inner world and the outer world. Now, this may not be exactly what we're looking for in a modern context to come together and sing Gregorian chant, but there is more to this than just the spiritual sacred implication, which is sometimes how we classify it in ancient sense. There's something very, very important in the tone and the color of each vowel. And we do not generally learn this ever in this society, of the color and the fabric and the charging of each sound. As we listen to Tibetan sounds, and I'm so pleased that we're beginning to have a curiosity in our audio appetite to say, how is it possible to make such sounds? Well, when I was in music school in France, I don't think anyone ever thought it was possible to make two or three sounds at a time. And then when we begin to hear the Tibetan sounds, that engages three or four sounds at one time, we begin to realize, well, what is this? But it is not such a mystical mystery, because each and every vowel and word we make has a different color about it. And when we speak of healing with the voice, we are talking about enriching our overtones, learning where the depths of our own personal voice, not to imitate my voice, not to imitate your voice, not to say my voice should be anything. How many of us should on ourselves all the time out there in the sense of the world tells us to be a certain way? The ecology of the breath and the voice and the body is engaging in each of ourselves as we were individual stars or planets, not trying to compare ourselves to anyone else, but to realize what is the most ecological way that we vibrate, resonate, empower ourselves with a sound life. Well, have you had a good vowel movement lately? What's been happening in your voice? Literally, these vowels and their sounds elongate the breath in such a way that the body can feel it and sense it. It's like the consonants in our words surround the vowels and give them rhythm and give them definition. But there's nothing like long ahs or long a's or long e's And there's a part of every vowel that is pleasurable, that brings something to your imagination. And there's part of a vowel that is tensionful, that gives a sense of... And even though the sound may be... It releases something in our body that just thought and breath cannot do alone. It immediately charges us or releases us. And in these next few minutes, we're going to do some exercises that will allow you to come in touch with the vowels as they move through your body.